wide on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Tonight is Wednesday, and it is the 25th of August in the year 2004. Our guest again this evening is Alan Watt. I had some information I wanted to share with you very quickly before we get started with Alan, and let us first do the spiritual message. This is from Ephesians 6. We've done this a lot, haven't we, folks? Beginning with verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I wanted to, folks, this came to my mind because it was an issue with the children, and I want to share it with you because many of you do have children, and many of them are in school. When they get to certain grades, they have to have certain vaccines. And a tetanus vaccine was due, and I got doing some research on it so that the children could be opted out of it. Because, you know, they send children home from school. Tetanus, the first day of school in Missouri, I won't say the school, but the first day of school, half of that class was being sent home because they didn't have a tetanus vaccine. Tetanus is not a disease, folks. And yet the children were sent home because they didn't have a, quote, tetanus vaccine. Now hold it for just a second. Let me grab my printout. I want you to know what's in this, and it won't take long. And I want you to know, folks, as far as I can ascertain, I don't believe that there is a state in these United States that doesn't have an opt-out. And it turns out that for Missouri, it's pretty doggone easy. But you have to go to the health department and this is what it appears you have to do. Come to find out, the forms are at school in the offices. And all you have to do is declare that it is against your religious beliefs. You don't not have to be going to a church. You don't have to have a form. I know that each of the schools are different, but in this case, you didn't have to have something filled out by a church. All you had to do was get this one particular form. If you have your pens handy, I want you, you can go to Vaccination Liberation. It's a website. Do a Google search. I think it's vaccinationliberation.com, but I'm not sure. But just put in your Google search or whatever search engine you use, Vaccination Liberation. And you can go right to it. They've got an index, an alphabetical index. It's just beautiful. The website is set up beautifully, and it is so helpful. But this tetanus, quote, vaccine, there is no immunity, and in the information on the website, it was the manufacturer's website of information, is that in the United States that there has been no immunity built up against this this infection. Against it, it's actually an infection. The bacteria is Clostridium tetani, I guess, but they say that in the United States that there is no immunity to it. That's BS. There's no immunity in any body against tetanus, because tetanus isn't a disease, it's an infection. And it is an infection that is caused from improper cleaning of a wound. And a tetanus vaccine is not going to build up an immunity for the individual. But for your information, in a nutshell, the vaccine is in fact a poison itself. The vaccine itself is a poison. And it's grown, they grow the lethal bacteria, and it can be lethal, Clostridium tetani, using mercury, that's thimerosal, as a preservative. And they use embalming fluid, formaldehyde, as a detoxifier, whatever the heck that means. They grow a toxin and then kill it with formaldehyde. They say that it's a detoxifier. And also, there is one of two different kinds of aluminum in the vaccine. Thimerosal breaks down in the body to mercury. It is a neurotoxin, and I would imagine, Alan, doesn't that mean toxic poison to the brain, a neurotoxin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The whole nervous system.
The whole nervous system. And it is admitted that the aluminum also and the thimerosal, folks, are both neurotoxins. And so if you are still in vaccinating your children after you hear just this tonight, knowing that you can go and you can get an opt-out form if your children are in school, which they shouldn't be, but if there is no other way, then if you ever have your babies poked again, because every single one of the vaccines, by the way, have thimerosal as the this makes me angry, and sometimes it's hard for me to put my words together. Almost every single that I know of, all of the vaccines use the thimerosal as a preservative, and they use the formaldehyde in them also. So all you're doing is injecting these children, these precious babies that have been given you into your care with poisons, chemicals, and even if they live through it and they don't become autistic is the word I'm trying to use, because autism has increased, if I'm not mistaken, I've read 16,000% in this country, and the autism is being connected directly to these vaccines. So I wanted you to know that, folks, and go once again to Vaccination Liberation, the website, Vaccination Liberation. And you can find all of the information that you need. And Alan, thank you for being patient with us here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, this is pretty... You know that they used to, according to this one article that I have here on the dangers of thimerosal, that it's, of course, it's been known for a long time, that it's a neurotoxin.
Yeah.
But it says that it has been taken... removed from many across-the-counter medicines,
uh-huh,
such as methylate and contact lens solution.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and let me just say this one last line. It says here that the amount given a 6-pound infant in one vaccination would be the equivalent of giving a 180-pound adult 30 vaccinations in one day.
Yeah. And that's on a brain that hasn't grown yet.
That's right. And the liver isn't producing its whatever it has to do to get rid of the poisons in the body.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thanks, Alan, for being with us again tonight. And I do have one request here from a listener. They wanted to know if you would address Harry Potter books. I mean, what you know about them, pros or cons?
Only what I've heard on the general media. I've seen a couple of the movies, and it's just the old rehashed stuff that we've heard in fairy tales for centuries, you know.
Well, okay. We have an article on our website, and it was allegedly written by a former witch, and she said that these books and these movies are not harmless, because first of all, they are encouraging witchcraft. A lot of children have seen the movies and said, I want to be a witch when I grow up. Mm-hmm. But she said that all of the names of those, the dormitories and that, Slytherin and all, she said those are the names of actual demons that are called up in when, you know, the black magic and all that.
Yeah.
And so she said that the children go around every time they say it, it's like they're calling that demon to them.
Yeah, it's all old Kabbalistic formula.
Kabbalistic. Are you on the same phone tonight you were last night?
No.
You're a little bit muffled, Alan.
It's still muffled, is it?
It wasn't muffled last night.
No, it was clear, yeah.
Last night was very clear.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to switch over?
Can you do that?
I'll try.
Are you going to have to recall me?
I don't know yet. I'll try. I'll see.
Okay, well, listen, if you lose me,
yeah.
What I'm going to have to do is I am going to have to go offline, actually off the air, just time enough to get us connected back up.
Oh.
So I just want our listeners to know, folks, if he doesn't call back, then I'm going to have to do that if he loses me. Okay, go ahead and try it, Alan.
Yeah, hold on a second. Do it. How's that?
Oh, my gosh.
That's better?
Difference in night and day.
Oh, okay.
Let there be light.
Yeah, indeed. Or at least sun.
That is wonderful. I heard from one of our listeners today, and he said that when you were on before, we were on 3.210, and a lot of people didn't get good reception. He said it was almost impossible ever to really make out with your Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah.
And he said last night it was crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
So, Alan,
yeah?
Is there something particular that you have on your mind tonight?
Not really. We are at the end of this long calculated stage that the world has been planned for the world for such a long time, and we're on the brink, obviously, of a major change, as you can see all around us. And I don't think it'll be too pleasant when it all comes down.
I don't think
planned for such a long, long time by those in authority worldwide. And I think they truly mean to push their whole New Age formula and put it into effect.
And what would the new, quote, New Age formula be, in your opinion?
To eradicate, as we keep hearing from the Rockefeller Foundation and others, a good portion of the world's population that they deem no longer necessary to keep themselves in the comforts that they're used to. They have technology to accomplish a large amount of that.
Well, don't you think that everything they're doing today is all part of that? The wars, Alan?
Oh,
and
absolutely,
the vaccines and the chemtrails, and I mean, you know, maybe people aren't dropping like flies. Maybe they are, and we don't know it. But
well, they are actually. I mean, with all the spraying alone that's going on, I'm sure that we even have more ads on TV sponsored by the government to recognize signs of stroke, for instance. We never had those before, and they're on every day.
Yeah, and over here it's asthma.
Yeah, all asthma is everywhere.
Upper respiratory problems, but asthma. Well, I've seen it on the Weather Channel quite a bit. You know, when they advertise all of their medicines.
Uh-huh.
Asthma's a big one today, and a lot of people have asthmatic symptoms. I guess you would call it asthma, that have never in their lives had asthma.
Yeah.
Young people, children, as well as adults.
Well, they found even with the, again, going back to inoculations, autism is only at the top of the tree of symptoms. There's a whole range of lesser symptoms, not as profound or obvious, going all the way down to asthma, you might say.
Uh-huh.
And
what would some of those symptoms be?
Again, you have varying degrees of mental disturbances,
yeah.
Slow learning, that type of thing, not quite classed as autism.
In other words, it's degrees of mental retardation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the IQ level has dropped 5 points over the last 10, 15 years.
I think I remember you mentioning that recently.
Yeah, yeah.
That they actually have, the actual average IQ has dropped by five points?
A minimum of 5 points, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, of course, with all inoculations going hand in hand into infants' bodies before the brain is formed, you really are lobotomizing them before the brain is formed. And that is one of the policies that was discussed at... with the World Population Council.
Your voice got a little low there. Keep it up to the phone, please.
Yeah.
Would you repeat that?
The World Population Council that Arthur Koestler attended, who wrote the book The Ghost in the Machine.
Alan, your voice just lost volume, and I'm watching my little LED readout.
Yeah?
That's better, I think.
Okay. But Arthur Koestler, who wrote The Ghost in the Machine, took part in plans to help or try and lobotomize subject groups, which would eventually be used worldwide, to basically dumb the people down through inoculations, through mechanical lobotomies, chemical lobotomies, everything basically. And
you know,
he wrote about it in his book. And in the last chapter, he tells you that he thinks this is very important for that saying world peace. So
that's their peace.
This is widely written about. It's just that we don't hear about it on the regular news.
Yeah. And when they talk about world peace,
yeah,
that's their peace. Here, I want to read this from Protocol Number 10. It says that you yourselves perfectly well know that to produce the possibility of the expression of such wishes by all the nations, that would be probably talking about their super government, the UN, it is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relation with their government so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, with hatred, struggle, envy, and even by the use of torture, which they're doing today, by starvation, and by the inoculation of diseases, by want, so that the goyim see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty, in money, and in all else. But it says here, if we give the nations of the world a breathing space, the moment we long for is hardly likely ever to arrive. If we give them a breathing. So when they talk about the inoculation of diseases, they're literally saying they're going to inoculate diseases into people.
Well, that's been followed pretty carefully, even with the AIDS vaccine or the AIDS outbreak spreading through Haiti and then through Africa the wake of the UN smallpox vaccination agenda. It followed on its heels. And that has been admitted, too.
Yeah.
Of course, they claim that some of the people who were giving inoculations didn't sterilize the needles properly. They just used the same ones, arm after
mm-hmm.
arm, basically. That's the way they wriggled out of that one.
Do you have another line there off the hook?
No.
Okay. Well, something keeps happening because you'll be nice and loud, and then I watch this, and it's down, way down.
Fading out, is it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hmm. So try to keep your voice right up there.
Yeah.
You had said when we talked about you coming on the air with us that you would be sharing information with our listeners that hasn't been shared with mankind for 3,000 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you would begin.
Well, what we're dealing with, behind all of the all of the all, and all the fronts that we have facing us, is a very old religion, a singular religion that pre-existed all of the other religions that we know today. And yet...
Does it also precede what we know today as Talmudism or Phariseeism?
Oh, yeah.
Well, is it any different than Talmudism?
You'll find behind all of the religions and the esoteric parts in all religions that they share a common origin, you might say. And it's wrapped so carefully into all religions that it takes an awful lot of searching to find it. But you can find it.
I stated it in kind of that way as I was compiling the book, Jewish Persecution,
uh-huh.
That it is a program, a long-laid program, for world dominion wrapped in a cloak of religion. It is wrapped in a cloak of religion.
Well, it's really the original religion behind all of the facades. That's what I'd rather say. And you find it again in the writings of Egypt, for instance, and Sumer. And what the elites claim, and I'll say the elite, is that they must interbreed so carefully with close kin, basically, for a very special reason.
Yes, and I'm going to interrupt, but don't lose your train of thought. I'm not doing this to interrupt, but I don't know what's happening, but I've just lost so much volume. I would like to hear from one of our shortwave listeners, if you would, please, and let me know if you're able to hear Alan okay, because I want people to be able to hear you. The call-in number, and I only need one call, is 570-537-3025. Would you please call? If you're listening on shortwave, let me know. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Jackie. It's Eleanor White. Yes. Alan is coming in fine here, even when your LED indicator says he's
that's great.
Way down. He's okay.
You can hear, and then I'm not, my voice isn't like lots louder than his.
No, it's not.
That's great. Eleanor, thank you. Then I'll quit worrying about it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, Alan, continue, please.
Yeah, the reason for the intense interbreeding has often puzzled researchers into this.
Has what?
It's puzzled all the researchers who have gone into this angle of it.
The interbreeding?
The necessity of worldwide aristocracy for this intense inbreeding. And, of course, the pharaohs, or at least the priests who looked after the pharaohs, wrote about this and wrote about their ceremonies associated with it. And what it was, they claim that they are the... their bodies are the descendants of the original bodies that were created when these beings or spirits or demons or angels were cast down to earth, and through their own willpower they created, they formed from all the materials around them through pure thought and willpower, perfect bodies to occupy.
Well, you know, that is interesting, isn't it, that the physical body contains all of the elements that are in the earth, I think.
Yeah.
It is interesting to note that.
However, they claim that since they were the closest thing from the Creator who had cast them here or imprisoned them here, they retain some of these special powers of creation within themselves. And as time went on, these powerful beings that could basically move objects, huge objects, just by mind power alone, began to lose these powers because they began to interbreed with the original species here. So there was an original species here. And the laws came out to command them to start interbreeding once again to get back to the original forms where they could use this mental ability, you might say.
Are these the, like the royalty and all that, the elite that...
Yes, and of every country as well. Every country, if you look at the flags of the countries, you'll see all of the symbols of what you think of today as the Illuminati.
Give us an example.
Well, you've got the rising sun for Japan.
Okay.
You know, you've got the dragon, of course, which is...
in China.
And so you can go on and on, and the modern flags have so many pyramids on them. It's incredible. The Union Jack is the... illumined man, this Andrew's cross, with the Templar cross in the middle. Every flag you look at, South America flags are just amazing, with their pyramids. So it's everywhere. It's an aristocracy, a worldwide aristocracy. And that's the reason for their intense inbreeding. If they breed out of their stock, the offspring will not have the powers. And here's the key to it. They believe so intensely in reincarnation of their own original spirits into their own family lineages that they must have the DNA of the family lineage to keep the perfect body so that the perfect spirit will manifest itself into it. Do you understand that so far?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
And
I'm listening very hard. It's hard
pharaohs,
to hear you.
Pharaohs, for instance, I used to have a ceremony of the opening of the mouth, they called it.
The what?
The opening of the mouth.
The pharaohs?
Uh-huh. So when a pharaoh died, they go through this elaborate ceremony. And this was to retain the spirit of the deceased pharaoh. And then they would transplant it, literally, supposedly, into his son. So you could be a host for your own spirit and your father's at the same time.
You mean, in other words, the pharaoh itself, that soul individual, after the body died, would enter into the son's body?
That's right.
Is that what you're saying, like a walk-in?
Yep. Now, if the son wasn't there at the time, they claimed that they could transplant the spirit or energy into a statue. Now, a statue could be anything, a container, in other words, or a scientific device. Who knows? And then bring it back out later when the son arrived home. But this is. All of the world's aristocracy believe in this intensely. And that's why they believe they're so clever.
And
that they are the original DNA, physical DNA, of the original bodies that these fallen ones created. And they are also the hosting the spirits of the original angels that fell here.
And their god is Jove?
Jove, Jupiter.
Okay, wait.
Lucifer is just as good.
Lucifer, okay, let's pick this up on the other side of this, because we have to take a 60-second break here. Folks, you're listening to Sweet Liberty. Our guest is Alan Watt from Canada, and I want to remind you, please, have your pen in hand so that you can write my address down, because this broadcast is listener-sponsored. We're just barely keeping it from going up, but it isn't coming down the way it must if we're going to be able to stay on the air. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back, folks. Just before we took the break, Alan, you were talking about the elite and their bloodlines, and I asked if their god was Jove, and you said, yeah, Jove, Jupiter, actually Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did a search, you were on at one time, and you had said that Jove, Jehovah, Jupiter...
By George.
By George, were all the same, quote, God.
Yeah.
And that... I've come to that realization more and more as this book has been being compiled, that... because I've done searches...
Yeah.
And I found an old Masonic, said this was, like 200 years ago.
Yeah.
And they said that the song was played to the tune of God Save the King,
yeah.
Which I found out is also the tune that My Country 'Tis of Thee is sung to. And they talked in there about, oh, Jehovah, you know, Lord, Jove, Jehovah, God is how it was said.
Yeah.
And so that was a Masonic song.
Yeah.
So is that, and you know that one of the definitions of a Noahite is a Freemason.
Mm-hmm.
When you look up the word, you know, in a dictionary.
Yeah.
So the Freemasonry, these people who are Christians who join Freemasonry, do they know this? Do they all know this, Alan?
Not at the bottom. Even the so-called laws that were given for all the Gentiles meant and this is pre-Hebrew. It's pre-Hebrew.
Well, I understand the word Hebrew was a word that meant that a habaru, that it meant dusty one or wanderer.
Wanderer, yeah.
Wanderer, mm-hmm. Like a nomad.
Long before that, supposedly, at the end of another age, when they talk about the flood. Noah was chosen to come through with his family, and it tells you right at the beginning of the chapter the only thing that or reason he was picked was that he was perfect in his generations, meaning perfect in his bloodline. He had not outmarried outside of his bloodline. So we're back to genetics again.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's genetics and.
Well, Sarah was Abraham's half-sister, according to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And Moses married his aunt.
Yeah. So what you're looking at, really...
Or some, it was some family.
Yeah. It's a eugenics program, really. It's a eugenics of the body and supposedly the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Roman elite, see, it doesn't matter where they've gone or who they've called themselves. In times gone past, or what empire they ruled, when the Greek elites moved into Rome and created Rome, they took all their customs with them, and the Greek elite also had the Lares, the fire, which represented the family spirits, as they did when they went into Rome and reconstructed the same system. The fire was always representative of your own family lineage's spirits, which would reincarnate into your grandson.
Is that what that eternal flame stands for?
Yeah.
The eternal flame?
Yeah, it's off Lucifer, yeah.
It's what?
It means belonging to Lucifer. The flame means Lucifer. The lesser flames or points of light belong to the army of Lucifer.
Well, is the religion of the Jews today Talmudism or Phariseeism, according to the Jewish encyclopedia, that Judaism today traces its history back through the ages without a break to the Pharisees? So it would really be called Phariseeism, probably. Is that a part of the today? Because, well, you know, when you look into some of these websites, when you're checking into the Noahide laws, then it says, well, the Noahide laws are only for the non-Jews. And the reason they give is because, well, they give a couple reasons. Either that because the Gentiles rejected, like the Ten Commandments, okay, that the Ten Commandments are only for the Jews because they were the ones that were there on the Mount, by the Mount, when they were given. And so the Noahide laws...
There were no Jews.
Yeah, right. That's what they call them today.
Yeah.
So the Noahide laws, there's seven of them. Actually, one is not a thou shalt not. It is a law that would establish tribunals. And then the punishment, this is right out of their own website, so it isn't a figment of my imagination. And I'd read this before, but until I saw it in their own website, I just kind of doubted it. But the only penalty for breaking of one of the Noahide laws is death, and the only mode of death is decapitation, Alan. And that they, what they're saying is that the reason their Messiah has not returned yet is because the world isn't ready for him, because enough people have not accepted, quote, the Torah, because that's what the Noahides heights will be referred to as Hasidic Gentiles, and that it is written in one of the books that I read that any man, woman, or child that does not embrace the Torah will be exterminated. Now, do you think they have something beyond that? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Oh, it's in their own websites. They explain all this. This is at least
the easiest thing to do. And this guy will come on your program is to ask that Rabbi Stevak on, because he will come on.
How do you know?
Because he was on Alex Jones' show.
He was.
Uh huh.
And you think if I called him, he'd come on my broadcast?
I do, yeah.
On Sweet Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And what would I bring him on and ask him?
Whatever you want. Yeah, ask him, because all the hate laws are now in effect that were in the Soviet Union. The hate laws are in effect now. Understand?
They've been passed in the States.
They've been passed everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being enforced everywhere.
Well, from my understanding, the hate laws actually are an outcropping, or the implementation, if you would, of the Genocide Treaty. And the implementing legislation was what created the hate laws.
Not really. I think it was a 2-year conference ongoing, and it was in a university in the U.S. to draft something up again for world peace. And they had the bare bones of what would become the hate laws. Had many reviews of it and updates of it, but they are in effect now.
Well, now, this broadcast here in the U.S., and there are other broadcasts, that have addressed the, quote, Jewish question. And there have not been any lawsuits or any fines or anything like that going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's you there.
Pardon?
The last place to get to go will be the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Because it's still completing the great work. Once it's done that, you'll see the same laws implemented.
So that we won't be able to have these discussions?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the intent of them. You won't be able to even ask a question along that line. A child won't be able to ask a question. That's how totalitarian things stand at the moment.
Well, you gave us a nutshell of what their design is, so to speak. And their belief system, but surely, it doesn't feel finished. I don't feel like, okay, now I understand this. I mean, okay, how do we relate that to today?
Well, today, I mean, the ancient elite who ran the world, the natural aristocracy that Jefferson called them, are scattered through all peoples, and they can adopt any religion, actually. And they become one of the people, often the heroes of the people.
The what?
The heroes.
The heroes.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what country you go into, it's the same ceremonies at the top.
You know, I'm so sorry to keep saying this. I am struggling to hear you, Alan.
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, and I wasn't at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the only decent phone I have.
But when you first got on it, you were right up there with the same level as I was.
Yeah. Unless something's influencing your meter.
Pardon?
Maybe something's influencing your meter.
Huh.
Yeah. Because I think the broadcast is probably coming out clear now.
Yeah, well, that's...
But can you hear me?
Well, that's the point. I'm almost not breathing.
Oh, okay.
So, because it's just not coming through good.
Uh-huh.
And if I turn up my headset, then my voice is... And I'm way backed off the mic.
Yeah.
Just try to put a little bit more volume in it, please.
Mm-hmm.
For me, because I am struggling to hear you.
Yeah.
So, what about... You're not done. I don't think you're done.
No.
With it, what you were explaining. Questions that I have are, for example, in the Old Testament, and, you know, I studied metaphysics, and it was said that there is an esoteric, it's symbolic, and there is some actual real history, but I think a lot of what we've been given as history, a lot of it was not.
Yeah.
Or it was twisted and it was torqued. But, okay, we have a situation where there is the God Jehovah or Yahweh.
Yeah.
There are people who say, no, the name is not Jehovah, it is Yahweh. And that God chose a certain group of people to be his special people who were going to rule over the earth. There are Christians who say, well, because they've studied the bloodlines, and I can't debate with them. I don't want to debate anyway, but because bloodline, as far as who we are, it seems simple that Jesus said that by their fruits ye shall know them,
yeah.
Not by the color of your skin or the bloodline or whatever.
By their works, yeah.
Or what religion you choose to believe in,
yeah.
But it is how we be. But yet, the people who have studied the bloodlines are absolutely convinced that it is the white Anglo-Saxon, I guess, the Nordic, that is the chosen of that Yahweh in the Old Testament.
Well, some of them are, yeah.
Pardon?
All of that sect began in the 1800s, the late 1800s.
Yeah.
With a guy who
A Scottish guy, right?
He emerged in London, this fellow, and declared all this stuff. He was eventually... He demanded that the king abdicate and he take over. And so he was locked up in an insane asylum.
Because he looked at the bloodlines and said, I should be on the throne?
Yeah, he put in a formal request. And then when Queen Victoria was in, another guy did exactly the same and demanded that she abdicate so that he could get himself on the throne. And he also ended up in the asylum.
Uh-huh.
But then, of course, the elite thought, well, this could be a good tool, you see, because division is fantastic when you're destroying everything at the end of an
yeah.
age. And so then they promoted the British Israel theory.
It's called a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's the
British Israelism.
Israel Foundation.
Uh-huh.
You'll find that the offices are the same as the World Zionist Federation.
Okay, please repeat that. What did you say?
The British Israelite Foundation, which Pat Pete and all these guys belong to, is the same addresses as the World Zionist Federation.
The British Israelites and the World Zionist Foundation have the same address?
That's right. And all modern Christians who attend church are Zionists.
They're being taught that today, aren't they?
They've been taught it for a long, long time.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't know that, but
100 odd years at least.
How many?
Over 100.
Yeah, but it's really becoming very widespread today.
Yeah.
Very widespread. Our webmaster was telling me in the little church that they attended, that there was a song that they sang, We Are Repossessing.
Yeah.
And then, and he told me the words. In fact, I've got the words to that song in the book, Jewish Persecution. But basically, it says that we are repossessing every square inch of land. And I said, how could you relate that to anything Christian? He said, well, what we were told was this. The Jews denied the Messiah, so the promise or the covenant went to the Christians. And now we're the ones that are going to evidently own and control the world.
Yeah.
It's very confusing and it's disturbing and because it's almost as though we have to be double-minded to believe this.
Well, most people are. Yeah. I mean, any follower of anything is a fool to begin with. If you can't think for yourself and take your own path, you must follow. You can be guaranteed you're being led up the garden path. That's why democracy works for the elite. Everybody who's born has a chance to be their own leader. But 87% are always chosen to follow somebody else. Because they can't think for themselves. They're too lazy to think for themselves. That's the problem. And then they wonder what happens to the world that they thought was theirs as it's pulled from under their feet.
No, I don't think... A lot of them don't wonder because they believe that this is God's plan.
And
that when it all falls apart, Jesus is going to be here.
Yeah.
He's going to be on his throne in Jerusalem. And he's going to be ruling the world.
Yeah.
It says in the Bible, in the red, that my kingdom is not of this world.
That's right.
And he said, I came here for one purpose into this world, and that was to bear witness unto the truth.
Yeah.
And the way it appears to me, he was exposing this and got killed for it, and he may as well have saved his breath. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm just listening to this, and when I hear, just a minute, I have to turn my radio down. But when I hear that we are too lazy to think, and we are too lazy to do this and that, in the meantime, we've been fed fluoride in the water, we've been dulled down with vaccinations, And now we're supposed to take the blame for not being able to think. I think there's something wrong.
Huh.
What do you think?
I think if the shoe fits, we wear it, honey.
Pardon?
I think if the shoe fits, we wear it, and the shoe doesn't fit you. I happen to know that.
I just had to point that out.
Thank you.
Okay.
It is. Well, it is true, Alan, that they have certainly done one heck of a job with their the food, with the floor of the fluoride in the water, and the type of food or not food,
yeah,
and the
You know, for 2,000 years, the public, regardless of the denomination or even country, followed these religious leaders blindly.
Yeah.
Without all the inoculations.
Yeah. And Jesus was exposing this.
Pardon?
Jesus was exposing this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then now today people call themselves Judeo-Christians,
yeah,
or Christian Zionists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you see, it's an abusive father.
I'm sorry. Hello?
Hi. I know it's toward the end of the show. It's Gloria from New York.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi. It's very interesting what he said, that the churches, all of the churches today, it's true. They really are Jewish centers. Yes, the Christians are all, really, they've become Judaized. That's true. Willingly, they do this.
Yes.
But I just wanted to say, the Jews secretly worship Lucifer. I know this is true. However, I wonder if your guests will agree with me. They are the rod of God's anger. See, the Lord allows, they are the, by the way, the Jews are the seed line of Lucifer. Our Lord does allow this to happen because we deserve it. Anyway, so what does your guest feel about what I just said? Thank you. I'll take the answer off the air. Bye.
Thanks, Gloria.
Well, that's the typical abused mentality. It comes out with
specifically what
abused, the abused person. If you follow the Bible, you're leading a path of mind abuse, because you can't have a loving father who also allows sadism to happen. You see? In other words, the God of the Bible has nothing to do with the Creator at all.
I believe that
The whole Old Testament is a compilation borrowed from many other countries of stories which are techniques on how to control others.
And you had said that their God is Lucifer, so...
Well, Albert Pike said it in the, one of the highest Masonic books ever written.
Uh-huh.
And so did Madame Blavatsky. She called her newspaper Lucifer, eventually called the Lucis Trust.
And who is Lucifer supposed to be?
Lucifer was the rebel. He was the chief musician amongst the angels. And he led a rebellion against the Creator himself, supposedly.
This is the way they say it?
Pardon?
This is the way they say it?
Yeah.
That's who Lucifer is?
And according to the elite,
according right,
man would be in darkness today, meaning ignorance and primitiveness, an arrested civilization, as they call it, if Lucifer hadn't brought intellect and intelligence down to show the people and to rule over the people. And this is the religion of all aristocracy. That's what they all believe in.
So Jove and Jupiter and Zeus and Jehovah are all one and the same?
They're all the same, but Jupiter and Jove also mean the hidden god, hidden from the public. That's what it means.
Hidden?
Yeah. Hidden from the public.
I thought, okay, Zeus was the Greek god, lord of the world.
Yeah.
And then the what am I trying to say? In Rome.
Uh-huh.
Jupiter, and you said that Zeus Pater, God the Father, became Jupiter.
That's right.
So Zeus and Jupiter are one and the same.
One and the same.
But then Jove and Jupiter are also said to be one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, who is it, which of the gods are hidden gods?
Well, it is all allegory. It's not real beings.
Well, keep saying that as you're telling this, will you please?
Yeah, it's allegory for the hidden god that the public must never know about until the right time. In other words, it's another front name for Lucifer. Always was the hidden god, but not the creator. It's the hidden god of the system of this world.
The system of this world.
Yeah.
The god of this world.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed, I remember reading and doing this in the book where Jehovah had said, when I made the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they only knew me as the Lord God Almighty, or something like that. But I am going to take you to be my people, and I am going to be to you a God. That is pretty loud and clear, Alan.
And also the story about coming out of the desert or Egypt and meeting Melchizedek is very important, because Melchizedek was worshipped by them as a living god on earth. They give him the full worshipping rites of a god, a deity.
Who's they?
The supposed slaves that came out of Egypt.
Oh, okay.
And the key is that every illumined man who works up through the degrees and goes round the clock, you might say, becomes a god on earth.
Say again?
Every illumined man in their system
becomes,
who goes up the degrees,
becomes a god.
Becomes a god.
Oh, we're out of time. Tomorrow's Thursday. Do you want to finish up the week with us?
Sure, we could, yeah.
Thank you. And I would like to get back into this and try to understand it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're through for this evening. Thank you for being with us. And I hope that you will be back tomorrow night. Alan will be with us. Have a lovely day tomorrow. Sweet dreams tonight. And God bless you all. Good night, Alan. Thank you. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Are you there?
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.